to keep telling you, because faith comes by hearing. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. This is our help this morning. Yep, this is our help. Praise God. Father, Lord, I know how important the message is today, and the principles that we're going to learn will set people free and change their lives. I know this because this message did it for me, and it's done it for so many people. So, Father, help me to say what you want to say and how you want to say it. Father, I thank you that my tongue will be like the pen of a ready writer. And, Father, I thank you I'll speak words from heaven. And, Father, I thank you that oracles of God will come from my mouth, preached with boldness and with utterance. And, Father, I thank you bullseyes will be hit in the hearts of the people. And, Father, it'll be an opportunity for them to go higher, to have life be improved and get better for them, for change to happen. Father, all stems from the Word of God. So Lord, we take this seriously. This isn't something light. And Father, I just declare to you that I want you to know that I am fully aware that you are the vine and I'm just a branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So Father, we're not here because of me and to hear all the good things that my mind can come up with. No, we're not here for opinions, man's ideas, man's ways. We are here for you. And we give you the praise and the glory. And we look to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says to be not conformed to the world. What does that mean? That just means don't blend in and do things the world's way. Amen. You know that the world's way is run by the devil. That's what the Bible says, that he's the god of this world. You don't want to do things the world's way. It doesn't lead to anything good. So he says, don't be conformed to the world. But, he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, when I read that verse, and it's one of the most promises of God that's presented to his people for opportunity for change and for help in their life that there is in the Bible. It's one of the top ones. The Bible says here two things that stick out to me. It says, be ye transformed. What's transformation? Transformation is change. And how many of you know, maybe right now or in the future, things are going to come where we need things to change. Amen. We need things to change, to turn, to get better, to, you could say it this way, that you could go into individual things. Change from what? Sickness to health. Amen. People need that change, right? Poverty to provision. People need that change. Condemnation to freedom in those areas. That's a change. Depression to joy. Fear to the courage and the strength of the Lord. Those are changes that we need, right? And he says that we're going to be transformed. He tells exactly how the change is going to come by the renewing of our mind. But notice what the result of it is. Because when you transform from sickness to health, depression to joy, from fear to courage and the strength of the Lord, from poverty to provision, when you transform into those things, you're just transforming into what he wants for you. Or you could say it this way, his will, which is the makeup of abundant life, heaven on earth, the life that God came to give you through Jesus, heaven on earth life, abundant life, the good life, you could say it that way, the peaceful life. And so it says here, to be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, or you could say an easier way to understand that, be that you can walk into that good, acceptable, and notice this, perfect will of God. Why? God's will for you, his perfect will for you, is not sickness, is not mental, trials and turmoil, and not physical trials and turmoil, not financial trials and turmoil, not emotional trials and turmoil, not relationship trials and turmoil. That's not His will for you. The perfect will of God is what we talked about, changing into the good things, the good life, the heaven on earth, the abundant life. And so two things jump out to me is that if you want change, change starts right here. If you want God's best, this is the avenue it starts through. Now, it's amazing. Brother Hagin said this. Now, Brother Hagin is my spiritual great-grandpa, and I went to his Bible school that he started years and years ago. He passed away in 2003, went home to be with Jesus. But because of Brother Hagin, the family churches exist. Because of Brother Hagin, there's a Pastor Scott Webb. And these are some of the ministers. If you have never availed yourself to these, you ought to start availing yourself to these. Without Brother Hagin, there's no Kevin and Annie Durant. There's not. Without Brother Hagin, there's no Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy Dufresne. There's no Reverend Alam. There's no Brother Chris D'Amico. There's no Reverend Randy Greer. That's just a few of the mighty ministers that have come out. There's churches all over America and all over the world that would not be there if it wasn't for Brother Hagin. He was a faithful man who fulfilled God's plan. He was a prophet on the earth, and he was the foremost prophet in the land at the time, and he was responsible for many people, including myself, being trained in the word of faith and getting a revelation, coming out of religion and finding out what God has for people and how to access that. Amen? He'd been around the block. He knew some things. He knew the body of Christ. That was his... what Brother Hagin's message was not just to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. It was to the body of Christ. He had a voice. See, my message that I have and my influence is not to the body of Christ as a whole. It's to this local body and to the local body in Allegheny. And if the Lord has anything in the future for me to start, so be it. We'll see. I don't know. But that's my voice. His voice was much larger, much on a grander scale. And so he was in tune more with the whole body of Christ rather than just a local body of Christ. People came from the world around to be in his meetings and be in his camp meetings. Thousands upon thousands of people wait outside and wait for hours to get into a church service because he had a mantle on him, had an anointing. So why do I say that? Not to brag up a man, but we do acknowledge the revelation that the man had and the faithfulness that the man walked out in his life. And he said this is amazing. Brother Hagin, in all that he knew and all that he experienced in his 80 years, some years of life, said, the greatest need. Now, when someone like that, with a voice like that, starts at the greatest need, wow, what's going to be next? Because he doesn't just throw statements out there casually or without thinking them through or knowing what's what. He's not a liar, right? He's not just trying to get attention. And he said the greatest need in the body of Christ is to renew the mind. The greatest need in the body of Christ is to renew the mind. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say the greatest need in the body of Christ is for people to get faith. Didn't say that. He didn't say the greatest need in the body of Christ was people to receive their healing. He didn't say the greatest need in the body of Christ. Now see, if you're someone that's sick, you think in your mind the greatest need that you have is to receive your healing. It's not. See, you think if you can't pay your bills and you're broke, that the greatest need that you have is for financial provision. That's not what he said the greatest need is. Now why and how can we know that he said that? Because the Bible doesn't say that transformation comes through faith, that prosperity comes through that healing. Because you say, well, Pastor, you've always taught us that the promises come through faith. They do. But you can't even have faith until the mind's renewed. Without a renewed mind, there is no faith. Because all faith is a belief. Your faith, to have a surety and to be solid, has to have a foundation. And the only foundation that can ever be sure that you can step out into the unknown with is the foundation of God's word and what he has said. Amen. And if you're going to have a foundation and believe what God has said, it comes a renewing of the mind to believe what God has said. So Brother Hagin said the greatest need in the body of Christ is to renew their mind. Why? Because you can't taste the perfect will of God until the mind is renewed. You think your greatest need is healing. You think your greatest need is money. You think your greatest need is deliverance for your children or whatever it is. It's not. Your greatest need to get the ball rolling and to start the chain reaction and the domino effect of abundant life is renewing your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. What does it mean to renew the mind? Well, that word renewal, if you look that up, it's also the word renovate or renovation. And to renovate something means to restore something back to a good condition. Amen? That's what it means, to renovate. Now, you know, I did a renovation on my office at home. When we purchased the house that we got, that we live in, that room, even though you couldn't see it, you know, it looked like it came about straight out of 70s or 80s. I mean, it really did. But I had a vision, not a vision spiritually, but a vision for what I wanted that room to be. And I could see what I wanted that room to be and where I'd spend my time up there and where I'd worship God and prepare my messages and spend the majority of my time. I couldn't see it naturally, but I could see what I want to be. Well, for that to happen, we didn't knock down the house and get rid of the house. But what we did do is we renovated that room. How did we do it? We gutted it first. My Amish friends that do it, they came in and they just tore down all the 70s look and the stained ceilings and things and all that, that over time. And they gutted that thing all the way down to the wood there. And then they even had to replace some of the wall because it wasn't straight. So they didn't get rid of the whole office, didn't get rid of the whole house and start brand new. They renovated that office. They gutted it out, amen? And replaced it with good things. Well, the Bible says your mind needs a gutting. That's what it says. The renewing of your mind, not the getting rid of your mind and asking for a new mind. You don't get a new mind. The only thing that you got that was brand spanking new at the new birth was your spirit. The Bible says you've been born again or been made brand new. Your old man is gone, the Bible says. Now, it's not talking about your old man body, because if it was talking about your old man body, when you got born again, your body would change, but it doesn't. It's talking about your old man, the real you is a spirit, and the Bible says it's been replaced. It hasn't been renovated. It hasn't been bandaged up. It hasn't been duct taped. You were made a new creature. Now, again, that's not talking about naturally, because you still look the same after you got born again, right? But it is talking about your spirit man. So when you got born again, your spirit man became new. But guess what didn't change? Your body didn't change. And your mind still stayed in there. He didn't take out the mind that had the wrong thinking and the wrong thoughts and replace it with one already fully stocked and loaded with the right thoughts. The Bible says it's your job to renew your mind. You think, well, Is this a project that I want to take on? Well, that depends. See, I could have accepted the 70s look in there and been in that office and stayed there, but to get to where I wanted it to be, I knew there was a project that was going to be needed to be taken up. It was going to cost some things. It was going to take some time. But to me, you count the cost, you count the time, you say, is it worth it to get to the end? Well, apparently I thought it was worth it because we went through with it. Well, you might say to yourself, is it worth it me renewing my mind? Well, is the perfect will of God worth it to you? Amen. Is divine health worth it to you? Is peace of mind worth it to you? Is having your needs met worth it to you? Is having your kids healthy and blessed and protected and serving God worth it to you? Is your business flourishing worth it to you? Is your relationships flourishing worth it to you? None of these things are possible without a renewed mind. If you're sick, it's not the healing you need the most. If you're broke, it's not the money that you need the most. I'm here to tell you. Brother Hagin said the greatest need in the body of Christ. And who's he saying that to? The body of Christ. He's saying it to the body of Christ to who? Broke people. Sick people, depressed people, anxious people, stressed out people, worried people. And he made that statement. Why? Because transformation. Transformation starts. You know how you start to get the money to come your way? Up here. You know how you start to get the healing to come your way? Up here. You know how you start to get your kids changed around? Up here. All those things we talked about, it all starts up here. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need a gut job on our minds. Praise God. Go with me to 3 John 2. I want to show you even further. 3 John 2. Third John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things. This is already talking to Christians, so he's not leaving out salvation here. They're already born again. Once you're saved, you don't need it again. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. Well, that word prosper, there's not just financial prospering. How many of you know you could have all the money in the world and not be prospering? Hollywood has proven to us that you can have all the money in the world and not be prospering. Amen? It does include the money, because God wants you to have a full supply, but it includes so much more. It includes peace. It includes provision. It includes favor. It includes joy. Amen? It includes peace. It includes freedom from fear, stress, and anxiety. So prosperity is not just dollars and cents, although it includes dollars and cents. But anyways, he says, I wish that you would prosper in life and be in health. Well, that prosper in life and be in health pretty much covers the whole gamut. Yeah. Prospering in life and being in health, which you could say prosper in life would also include being in health. Amen. Covers everything. He says, I want that for you. Well, I just told you that. That's what God's will is for you. Ladies and gentlemen, health is abundant life. Provision is abundant life. Peace of mind is abundant life. That's heaven on earth life. What's heaven on earth mean? What's going on up there taking place down here in your life? There is no depression up there. There's no anxiety or stress or fear up there. There's no worry up there. There's no sickness up there. There's no disease, no lack up there. There's none of it. And he says, I want you to have heaven on earth. I want you to have abundant life. Well, he says here, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health. That sounds like heaven on earth. Why? Because what's going on up there? Prosperity and health. Prosperity and health. Prosperity and health. Amen. But notice something. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may as prosper and be in health, even as your soul. Now, we just got done doing a series here about being led by the Spirit of God. And if you remember, Pastor Mike brought up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, which says that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he saying? He's saying that there's a three-part being that you are. You have a spirit, right? That's the real you that's going to live forever. That's located in the belly region. But he distinguishes spirit and soul as being separate. Well, remember over in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Well, what does that mean? The soul and the spirit are not the same thing. A lot of people think they're the same thing. When I got saved, my soul got saved. No, it didn't. When you got saved, your spirit got saved. Amen? And so he's dividing in Hebrews 4:12 soul and spirit. And in here, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, your spirit, soul, and body. So the spirit of man is the real you, but you also have a soul. And we'll see as we go forward here today, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. And so he says, spirit, soul, and then your body. What's the body? It's the shell, right? It's the earth suit that houses it all. But you're a three-part being. So when he says here, even as your soul prospers, he says, what's he saying is, your prosperity and your health are going to go as your soul prospers. If your soul's not prospering, you won't prosper in other ways. If your soul's not prospering, you won't prosper health-wise. Well, this will make sense and line up with Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 when you understand what the soul is again. What did I say the soul is? The mind. Well, what did he say in Romans 12, 2? Be transformed. Transformed from what? The unabundant life to the abundant life, whether it's finances, health, family, kids, peace, joy, mental things, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. What's he saying? You got to do something with the mind or the soul. And he says the same thing here. Your prosperity, your health is not determined by a doctor's report or by the money or your checkbook or your savings account or your salary or your paycheck. Your prosperity and your health will be determined how your soul prospers. The more prosperous you are between your ears, the more prosperous you'll be in your wallet. It's the truth. The more prosperous you are between your ears, the more prosperous you'll be in your body. Why? Remember, be transformed, changed into what you want by how? The renewing or the prospering of the soul. Amen. The renewing of the mind, and I'm going to show you in a second and give you steps and what exactly to do and how to do this in a couple stories of from my own life. It's renewing your mind. Remember, you're gutting it. When we gut that office, you know, I don't just walk up there now and there's a plywood floor and I can see the 2x4s and the studs in the wall and I can still see the plywood on the wall. No, they gutted it, but then to fully renovate, they had to replace it. And a renovation of the mind is taking out the wrong thinking. What's wrong thinking? Anything contrary to this book. That's wrong thinking. And then replacing it with what? This book. Amen? Amen? So the renovation of the renewing of the mind is just replacing your thoughts with the Word or God's thoughts. So what are you renovating it with? The Word of God. What's that mean? Thinking like God thinks concerning whatever you're facing, whatever your situation is. That's a renewal of the mind. Amen? And I got done telling you that it's not the money you need. It's not the health you need. It's not more customers that you need at your business. It's not. It's not if this and that would change with my kids. Nope. It's up here. Starts up here. And then when you get this right, you can get into faith and start believing God for some things to change. I learned this the hard way. Most of you have heard this story, but I don't care. It's worth repeating. It's a blessing. I was in Canada when Dr. Dufresne was still alive, and it was when we had started this church, and we were still, if I remember correctly, still in we just moved into the storefront or the old insurance building over here that we renovated. And when we did that, I'll just testify it. The finances in the church were better in the storefront. When we moved into our new building, some people got offended and left, and summer came and it went zoo. And personally, when we were going into that building was when God was also leading us into things personally for us financially, and we were absolutely stretched to the max, what you would say, desperate for money. And Dr. Dufresne, the prophet of God, called it out. He said, now, I don't mean you need to pay a bill or you're struggling a little bit. He said, is there anybody here that is desperate for money? Well, myself and another pastor went up. Because I was like, dang, that fits my description. I mean, I'm desperate for money. See, we think we're desperate for money. We're desperate for the healing. You're not desperate for the money. I'm going to show you. And so I went up, got hands laid on me, you know. And it's kind of like this. There's some, at times an anointing has come on me, or I see it come on other ministers, to lay hands on people that are going through depression. I know what it's like. I've been there. And when that anointing hits the person, the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. But once the yoke's destroyed, it doesn't say that the yoke will stay away forever. The yoke will try to reattach itself. And so I always minister to people, said, yes, when I lay hands on you and command that thing to go and break that thing off you, you will notice a change. But if you want to stay free, it's kind of like, remember when they cast out the devil and they said, the demon, and they said, listen, when the devil's cast out of a person, it goes around, but then it comes back to search the place that it came from to find if it's empty or filled up. And if it's empty, it moves back in. And the Bible says it moves back in with such a strength that it makes it worse than it was the first time. What is it, 7 times worse? 7 times worse. Well, if I cast the devil out of someone or command that to go, that spirit of depression, you will feel a release at first. But it's going to try to come back. And if it comes back and it's empty and there's been nothing renovated, it's going to say, oh, there's nothing here. I'm going to move right back in. I'm going to bring more with me this time. So when I lay hands on people, I tell them, you're going to notice a change and it's going to be different. But you need to then do something from here to keep that off you. Amen. Well, Pastor Nancy, being the prophet, teacher, and awesome person she is, and bold, I love her boldness. You know, whenever I start to feel like, oh man, I was too bold, I just go listen to her. I say, nope, I'm good. I'm telling you the truth. Some of the things that she says to her congregation, I'll tell you what, she don't give a rip. When you know that you're preaching truth, you don't care. And it's helped me because she ministered to me one time. And this is what she said. She said, the boldness of like Lester Summerall walked in will be upon you. And I heard that. I said, oh, Lord, no. No. Lester Summerall was gruff. And some of the stories I can't even tell you would be inappropriate for me to just share with little kids how Lester Summerall dealt with people and ministered to people. And she said that boldness. Well, I've had to renew my mind that being bold is right. That being bold is what we should do. And not to tiptoe through the tulips and just, you know, kind of walk on eggshells around the people. So whenever I get into thinking, oh, I'm too bold or whatever, I just put a Pastor Nancy message on. I think, oh man, I don't even register on her scale. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so she, the next day, that night, Dr. Dufresne lays hands on me. How do you know? When he's got an anointing, he can break that oppression off me. Hallelujah. And but you know, it's not going to stay off unless I do something. The Bible doesn't say to be completely transformed and changed by the laying on the hands of the prophet. So Pastor Nancy Dufresne, most of you know the story. The next morning, she's preaching morning, he's doing the night services. Let's say I'm sitting where Caleb is. She preaches 90-some percent of her message right here, and she talks about renewing of the mind financially. And many times when she made bold points, she looked right at me. She didn't care if I get offended, if I leave and get mad at her. What's she trying to do? Give me my help. See, if you understand that your pastor's boldness and the Word of God, it's your life preserver. You don't push away your life preserver. You grasp it, you hold on to it, you want it, right? And so she's standing there, and in my mind I'm thinking, everyone knows she's talking about me. Everybody saw me last night go up. Because she's talking about 3 John 2 and renewing the mind, how your soul prospers. And she's standing right in front of me saying, if you think the money's the problem, you're wrong. It's your mind's the problem. You're thinking wrong about money. I'm telling you, you're thinking wrong about money. It's a true story. Point taken. And she was right. I thought, I'm desperate for money. I'm desperate for money. No. The renewed mind never is desperate for money. The renewed mind is never troubled by a symptom. It's true. Say, Pastor, I don't want to take it a little too far. Quickly turn over to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And she was right. And she told me. I thought, my goodness, I got some homework to do. And I did my homework. It wasn't the money I needed. It was a renewed mind I needed. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say what I'm about to say that Brother Hagin said. We know the laying on of hands is right and good. And when Pastor calls something out, let's say you're believing God for your neck pain to go away. And Pastor says, you know what? It's on my heart for neck pain. Don't sit in the seat and think, I'm already believing God for that. I'm not coming up. That may be the answer, the manifestation of the answer. But what Brother Hagin said one time is he called people up for a healing line. And Pastor Nancy took notice. And she heard him say kind of lower under his breath. And he said, y'all that are coming up here, y'all do realize you're already healed. And then he said, and he was talking to himself, he wasn't trying to be mean, he's having a conversation. Y'all do realize that you're healed already. Because the word says, by his stripes, you were healed. Yeah. Past tense. And Brother Hagin said, you all do realize you're healed, don't you? And he said, no, obviously you don't. That's why you're coming forward. Because a lot of people don't come forward in faith from the understanding that this is already mine. It's, I want to get something. That's not a renewed mind. The renewed mind of healing is, you're already healed. The reason why Pastor Mike was down and depressed and desperate for money is because I didn't have a renewed mind that I'm already rich. It doesn't matter what the checkbook says. The Bible says I'm already rich. Amen. Hallelujah. Was it the story? I remember talking to you about this one time, Julie, that you had mentioned to me about the story of Brother Hagin when he told the person to get out of the wheelchair. And it didn't happen, right? And Brother Hagin said, in the name of Jesus, come out of that wheelchair. And what, he went down the line, it didn't work. And Jesus prompted him to go back. And he was talking, Brother Hagin's having a talk with Jesus, and he's telling Jesus, said, it's not work, it didn't work. And Jesus said, I told you. And what was happening is he's going through the motions, and it's not happening in the natural. And he's saying, but Jesus, I commanded that person to get out of the wheelchair, it's not happening. Jesus said, I don't care what you see or are experiencing, I said this. And then he went back and did it, and it worked. But the point was, is that it doesn't matter if your body tells you you're sick. The renewed mind knows, I am healed. And you'll say, but I'm not feeling it. And Jesus would say to you, I don't care what you see. I don't care what you feel. I said, you're healed. I don't care what your checkbook says. I don't care what your bills say. I said, you're rich. Amen. Amen. That's what a renewed mind does. And she stood in front of me and she said, it's not money that you need. It's a renewal of the mind. Then I heard her say one time, the mind that thinks right is not troubled when not enough money comes in. It's not troubled. Because you're not... Your faith's not built on the natural. Your faith is built in the unseen, in the Word. She said that the renewed mind is not troubled at a symptom. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not troubled at that. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says, I'll keep him in perfect peace, whose bills are all paid, whose health report is A+, no problems, whose everything in their life is honky-dory, ducks are in a row, T's are crossed, I's are dotted. No. He says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, the mind that stayed on thee, or the Word, is the renewed mind. Amen? And she stood in front of me and preached for her hour and 15 minutes, whatever she does, and just, hammered me with the Word. And I said, bring it on. And you know what? From that place forward, changed my life financially. It did. Changed my life financially. Praise God. Now, the Bible says that you are to renew your mind. You know, I hear so many people that are so unskillful with the things of God. And this is what I mean. I've had people say to me before, and I'll use this example because I was in this position at one time, where they're taking a new job or experiencing something different, and they'll talk to me about, I'm praying that the Lord will take away my fear, and not make me nervous. And I say, he's not going to do it. It's not going to take your fear away. It's not going to take your nervousness away. Why? It's not his job. It's your job to renew your mind, to be transformed from afraid to not afraid, from nervous to not nervous. Well, I know this because when I got that after-school job that put me in charge of 15 to 20 staff members at any one time and 100 kindergartners, from kindergarten to fourth grade, 100 kids, I was terrified because I had never been a boss. I had never been in charge of this much, never had this responsibility before, and now I'm thrust into it, and I'm nervous. I mean, to the point where I was dreading when the bell would go off at 3 o'clock. Hated it. Walking down to the lunchroom, knowing there's going to be 100 kids down there and staff members that don't want to hear from me, that won't respect me, parents that would come pick up the kids that want nothing to do with me and are angry that I took the former coordinator's position. I mean, I was literally shaking, terrified, sweating. Lord, take it away. Take it away. He's not going to do it. So what did Pastor Mike do? And I'll show you the steps of how he did it. I renewed my mind. To what? I renewed my mind to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I renewed my mind to I'm more than a conqueror. I renewed my mind to greater is He that is in me. And when I got my mind renewed, I went from dreading the bell and walking down, from dreading the bell and walking down to the hall and being nervous, to let's go, bring it on, what you got for me today? Not because of me, but I renewed my mind. The situation didn't change. The circumstance didn't change, but my mind was on Him. And what happens when your mind gets on Him? Peace comes. Amen. Amen. Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 21. We're almost done here. James 1 and verse 21. Hang on with me, kids. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Well, what did we say renewing of the mind is? It's gutting, getting rid of your way of thinking, but replacing it with what? The Word. Well, He's telling you here, receive the Word. What will happen when you receive the Word? Which is able to save or rescue your souls. What's your souls? It's not your spirit. James is not writing to unbelievers talking about being born again and being saved from hell. He's writing to people that are already saved, but their prosperity, transformation is dependent upon their mind. And he said, the way your mind's going to be changed is receive the Word. What do you do when you receive the Word? You're renovating this. You're pushing out the old and bringing in the new, the right things. And he says, the result of that is it'll save your souls. Which, what does that mean? Well, it says, if your soul prospers in 3 John 2, your finances will prosper. Your body will prosper. It all starts, now you see why Brother Hagin said the greatest need is not money. It's not faith. It's not healing. It's a renewal of the mind. Why? Everything comes from the renewing of the mind. Amen. Praise God. A renovation of the mind. Go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. What's on the menu, Nettie? What? Sweets. Sweets. Well, someone's got to be sweet after this. Sweeten you up. Joshua 1 and verse 8. Now, this will make more sense to you now that you see what we're supposed to do with our mind. We're supposed to, how do we renovate our mind? We receive the Word. What are we replacing our thoughts with? The Word, which are what? God's thoughts. Which lead to what? Prosperity and health, transformation and change. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. But notice this, you shall meditate therein day and night. What's meditating in there day and night is? That's just receiving. That's renovation. You know, when they gutted my office, they didn't just come for a half hour in the morning. They stayed through the morning, took a little lunch break, stayed through the afternoon, and sometimes, to get the job done, they stayed in the nighttime. Amen. It's true. Meditate therein day and night. What's he saying? It's a job that's going to require a full-time job. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice this. For then, what's he saying? Then change can come. Then transformation can take place. Why? When you meditate in the Word day and night, what are you doing? You're receiving the Word or renewing the mind, which is able to what? Save your souls. When you prosper your soul, the Bible says your health will prosper. Your life will prosper. Transformation and change will come. So when you meditate in the Word day and night, you're receiving the Word. You're renewing the mind. And the Bible says, then your way will be prosperous and then you'll have good success. Replacing this way of thinking. You know, with the renewal of my office, it wasn't an overnight job. And in fact, the bigger the project, usually the longer it's going to take. I don't know what mess you have up here. But if you've been thinking wrong about money your whole life, this will not get fixed in one sermon overnight. I preach on prosperity one time and oh, I'm free now. No, it will not. If you have a wrong feeling and a wrong idea concerning what the Bible says about healing, you're convinced and sold out This is what I'm going to have medicine the rest of my life. Doctors have said this, and you've renewed your mind to the doctor's report, and your faith is in the doctor's report. One message on healing is like going in there and just doing one little tear down. The room didn't get redone at that time. Still some things that need to be taken out and replaced. Amen. The greatest example of this I can think of is years ago. I was in a place where I was dealing with such condemnation, such guilt, such shame, such wrong thoughts about myself. Listen, I usually don't have problems forgiving other people. That's never really an issue for me. The problem is forgiving myself. The problem is being okay with myself, right? This is a true story. I was in a tree stand one time. I was just mad at myself, just beating myself up about something that I did, ways that I was, how I was acting or whatever. And as that was happening, the Spirit of God said to me, "Is that how you would counsel one of your sheep?" That's what he said. And I knew by the Holy Ghost that hunting had just stopped and counseling session had just begun. And you're going to think I'm crazy, and you might want to admit me after this. But I literally had a counseling appointment with myself in the tree stand where I, as Pastor Mike, because when I meet with you and you tell me things you've done wrong, I don't thump you over the head for it, because that's not what God would do in His Word. God's not beating you up over the head for things you've done wrong. He's saying, stop the things you're doing wrong, repent, and let's get back on doing it God's way. There's hope for you. There's still change for you. Your best days are yet ahead of you. That's not me just blowing smoke at you. That's the truth of the Word. And that's how I, as a pastor, am. But to myself, it's condemnation and guilt. And so I said, okay, come on in, Mike. And then I pretended I was Mike, which I really was him. And I was like, how you doing, Pastor? Good, it's good to see you. What's going on? And so I went and told, I knew I was supposed to do this. And I started to minister myself like I was on the other side of the desk and I was the pastor. And I started saying to myself, the Bible says, it's not over for you. He that's begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. God's got a great plan for your life. The best days for you are yet ahead. God's not interested in what you did wrong. He's interested in you forgetting and going forward. Because that's what I would say to any one of my sheep. And it helped me and set me free, praise God. And so years ago I was dealing with this. And I mean, I'm talking thoughts nonstop about it'd be better if I was gone. There's no point in me being here. I'm a failure. I'm worthless. I am the scum of the earth in God's eyes. That's what I was feeling. And that's what I was thinking. And so I had been thinking and thinking and thinking that, well, what you think, you're going to believe. And keep thinking that. My mind was renewed to the fact that I was worthless. That's why one time I had ministered to a girl at the Jamestown church who for years was told by her mother she was worthless and a nobody and no good. Well, that's why people have self-esteem issues. My kids won't grow up with self-esteem issues. Why? We're always pumping into them what they're going to do, how good much God loves them, how blessed they are, that they have gifts, talents, and abilities in their life. But some people grow up, you're worthless, you're a nobody. Well, you can stay in that, or you can do something about it and change it. And I helped her, and helped change her, and she's free now. Actually serves in one of the other churches now, is on the worship team. Praise God. And so here I'm thinking this, and Pastor Nancy DeFrame preached a message. And I got a hold of this message, and when I heard it, I wept. Because I was like, this is my answer. Oh, it's my answer. It's my ticket out. And so I heard that message, wept, and got all excited, you know. And what's interesting is that my mind was still, had not been fully gutted or renovated yet, because a couple hours later, it was creeping back in and it was affecting me. It was affecting how I felt. It was affecting the way I proceeded in life. So what did I do? Well, did the guys come in there in the morning and they gut the office and they take their lunch break and they come back in and they say, it's not done. I don't know. No, you keep renovating it until it's done. Now, how bad do you want to be free? Because I'll tell you what, I wanted to be free bad. And you know what? When my contractor, when he wants to get a job done, you know what he does? He puts extra hours in. Yeah, right. When he wants to get to another one, he'll stay longer. He'll put extra hours in. Why? It's important to him get this done. oh, I want my mind renewed. I'll just read. I don't have a good idea on healing or, I'm convinced about being broke, but I'm going to renew my mind. I'm just going to read Philippians 4:19 one time and go on. Oh, you'll be beat. Well, I listened to that whole message one time, and 2 hours later, I was beaten up again. So for the next year, I listened to that message over 1,000 times to the point where I could quote the message, where I could quote it in the accent that Pastor Nancy Dufresne does, that I not only could quote the message, but her pauses in her sermon, I was spot on. I could say it right along with her. I would quote it in bed. I would quote it when I was in the shower, quote it while I was driving. I got to the point where I didn't even need to hit play anymore. I started the message. It's true. It's a true story. Why? I didn't like feeling that way. I didn't like living that way. So what happened? When I'm listening to that, we're gutting it out, renewing the mind, put it in, and guess what happened? Pastor Mike got free. Pastor Mike got free, amen? Hallelujah. Let me just mention this real quick. Some people need to get free of the fact that God's good and renew your mind to God's goodness. Some people need to get free and renew your mind to the benefits in what Jesus said about baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues. The only reason everybody in this church is not baptized with the Holy Ghost, now barring new people that never heard it, but have been with me, and are not speaking in tongues, is simply because you've not transformed by renewing your mind to it. You still think it's weird, you still think it's spooky, you still think it's not for you, and you're missing out on the benefits. That's the only reason. That's it. Because when my mind got renewed to it, the weirdness went away. Yeah, the only reason that you still think you're going to be with that sickness the rest of your life, you just haven't renewed your mind to healing. Some of you have had a sickness mentality your whole life. Some of you have had a poverty mentality your whole life. I've always been broke, always going to be broke. Well, that's the way you're thinking. That's a stronghold. You better break that. Some of you have just said, well, I'm depressed. The doctor said I'm depressed, and I'm not saying the doctors aren't saying you're depressed, and I'm not saying that's not a real thing. But there's change available for anything. Anything. Hallelujah. What about what you do with your money? You know why everybody in this church is not 100% tithing in here? You haven't renewed your mind to it. Because why? Why would you not do when God said on the Word, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, not take from you, not cause you struggle. Why wouldn't you do it? Your mind's not renewed. Your mind's renewed to lack and your bills and your poverty. It's the only reason you won't do it. It's the only reason. Because He says it's only going to be good, but your mind's not renewed to Him. Why won't you forgive somebody that was so awful to you when He says, without forgiveness for everything, your faith will be hindered? Because your mind is more renewed to your hurt and your offense and your grudge than it is what He said in your freedom. That's all it is. Everything comes from change from the Word of God and renewing your mind. Pastor, why are you so adamant about these things? Because I want change for you. I want you to stay the same. I've seen it work. I've seen it happen. I mean, if you struggle with the tithing message, you know what you do? You do what Pastor Mike did with the condemnation message. You read that and meditate Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 over and over until you are convinced, and the thoughts of I'm going to struggle and the thoughts of I can't make it and the thoughts of I can't do it are replaced with, wow, the windows of heaven are going to be open. Blessings are on their way. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you say, oh, that's so weird. I don't think I could ever do that. I don't understand that language. And you get in here and you say, oh, Jesus said there'd be power for those that do this. Jesus said, but when we speak in tongues, we're talking to God. Jesus said when we speak in tongues that we're edified and built up and charged up, that we pray out mysteries, and the thoughts of weirdness and the thoughts of it's not for you and the thoughts of you can never do it are replaced with all the good things. And then before you know it, you're blata, mate, eto, do, you're shout about it everywhere. You'll come back from the doctor and a negative report, and you'll be shouting the whole way, saying, it doesn't matter what the doctor says, the word says I'm healed. A new bill will show up, something will break down, and your mind's so renewed to the provision and prosperity of God that just, it doesn't matter what I see, money's coming, because the Bible says I'm rich, and money follows rich people. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah is right. Y'all did it to me now. How are you going to do that? Renewing the mind, renewing the mind, renewing the mind, renewing the mind. Meditating what? Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. Day and night, day and night, day and night. Working on that day and night, day and night, day. Some of your minds are so messy and messed up and need a home makeover. This message right here will change your future. Amen? Did you receive something today? Amen. And if you need verses concerning what you're facing, I'll give them to you. I'll give you the materials. I'll give you the 2x4 verses. I'll give you the plywood. I'll give you the wallpaper, the paint. I'll give you the lighting fixtures. If you need it, let me know. And then it's your job to get in there and work it. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, man, Lord, we were blessed whether we know it or not. Lord, you're just trying to take us to a higher place. We thank you, Lord. I'll make sure we're paying attention here, nice and quiet. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we just are so grateful for what you've imparted to us, what you've shared with us, Father. Lord, this is where our help begins. This is where our help starts. This is where change happens, Father. Let's just worship him for a second. Father, we bless you and praise you and glorify you. Father, you're a good God. You're a good God. We bless you. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. We honor and bless the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the help that was delivered to us this morning, Lord. All of us have areas that need renovating. Wrong thinking on. Maybe there's multiple rooms. Maybe it's the whole house that needs to be renovated. If so, hallelujah. If so, if that's the case, that's okay. We got the rest of our lives. We got the rest of our lives to change that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I pray that people get a revelation of this message today and realize that their help was delivered today, that their answer was delivered today, and that they would run with this, Father. And wherever they struggle, if their faith's in sickness, if their faith's in their poverty, if their faith's that they're never going to get better and never change and that their kids are always going to, that they would find the right tools to renovate and to change that mind so transformation could take place. Thank you for it, Father. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, please, nobody looking around. The greatest gift that was given to us was not prosperity, was not healing, was not favor and protection. It was salvation. And the Bible says it's so easy to be saved. If you can hear my voice today, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know 100% without a doubt I'd go to heaven? If your answer is I'm not sure or no, I don't know, I think so. Listen, when I ask myself that question, there's no uncertainty, no doubt. I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. And the Bible tells me how to get there. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven, but I want to go to heaven. Well, you might want to go to heaven, but you can want to go to Disney World, but your want can't get you in. Your want can't get you into heaven. You have to do something. Two things you have to do to get into heaven. You have to believe in Jesus, and you have to receive Jesus. So if you're here today and you could say, Pastor, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I would, but I want to. And you can say, I do believe in Jesus. Well, you're halfway there. The next step is just to receive him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass you. If you're here and you can say, I want to receive Jesus this morning. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. I believe in him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive him? If you've never done that before. I see that hand, but just remember, you that raised your hand, you never have to do this again. You never have to make that commitment again. Once you do that today, he'll never leave you. I don't care if you have a bad day, you don't listen to your mom and dad, you get in trouble, you have a bad time at school. God does not take your salvation away. So just remember for that person that raised your hand. Anybody else that wants to receive Jesus, just lift your hand high in the air and I'll have you put it down if you've never done it before. I see that hand, you can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here this morning? Well, Father, we had two hands. And Lord, if there's more, if people just didn't raise their hand, that's okay. Raising your hand does not get you saved. And Lord, that's a good thing because I can't see people raising their hands on live stream or I can't see them in the future. It's the believing and receiving Jesus. So if you raised your hand, by raising your hand, you're saying, I believe in Jesus, but now you have to receive Jesus. You have to ask him into your heart because the Bible says he's standing at the door of your heart knocking. He wants to come in. Well, the way you let him in is by inviting him in. So if you raised your hand, the next thing you have to do is just to invite him in by saying a prayer. You don't have to come up with a prayer on your own. I'll pray a prayer, and you can repeat it after me, and it'll be a prayer of inviting Jesus into your life. Now, you're not going to be the only one saying it. The whole church is going to pray this with you, so don't feel like it's just going to be your voice. I want to ask everybody that raised their hand, that should have raised their hand, that's by live stream, and everybody else in the church, even if you've already received Jesus, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, don't leave yet. We got communion, but look up here. For those of you that raised your hand again, you never have to do that again. You are heaven-bound. Eternity is sealed. The Bible says so. Praise God. But I do encourage you that raised your hand, stay planted in a Bible-teaching church. Hear the Word of God. Apply it to your life. And watch all the supernatural changes that will come your way. God endeavors to bless you, and he loves you so much. At this time, we're going to take communion. Brothers, if you come forward, this is a time of reverence and worship. So let's just put our eyes on Jesus now as we get ready to take up communion. Thank you, gentlemen. And I'm just going to worship him. I encourage you not to be talking. Kids, just worship Jesus. And for those of you that the kids here, you say, how do I worship Jesus? What do I do? Just thank him. Just tell him you love him. Just tell him how great he is. Tell him how thankful you are for all that he's done for you. Tell him you're thankful for Jesus. Kids, you can thank him for heaven. You can thank him for the blessings you have, for the health in your body, for your parents, for your house, for your clothes. There's lots of things to be thankful for, kids. So this is a time of remembering him and what he did for us. Lord, we bless you this morning. We worship you this morning. Lord, we honor you this morning. We're so grateful. We're so thankful for the price that Jesus paid, showing us how worthy we were, showing us how much we were worth to him. By the price he was willing to pay, we forever see how worthy we are. We forever see that we are worth everything to him, that the ultimate price was willing to be paid for us. Thank you, Jesus. We don't take it lightly. Lord, we know you suffered and suffered a horrific death, but you were willing to do it for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship you and praise you this morning. Thank you for that gift, that sacrifice. Lord, where would we be without you? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, you ought to get in the habit of just thanking him. So thankful for what he's done for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do it in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread and let's break it, like it symbolizes his body be broken. Go ahead and eat. Lord, we thank you that the bread symbolizes your body that was broken for us. Now, why was your body broken for us? The Bible says, by the stripes of your body, we can be healed. Your body was broken, so ours doesn't have to be broken. And through the receiving of the promise of healing that you've given to us through the body of Jesus being broken, it's ours for the taking. We thank you, Lord, for what you endured in your body. I can't even begin to imagine what you went through. Thank you, Lord. And he goes on to say in verse 25, in the same manner he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's go ahead and drink. Now, Father, I thank you that the juice represents the blood. And what was the blood for? The blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, just like the Old Testament, people would bring sacrifices of lambs and goats, and the blood would represent the cleansing of sins. Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So when Jesus, the precious lamb without spot and blemish, was slain and his blood was shed, it was for the forgiveness and the remission of our sins. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We've been made white as snow, praise God. And that happened at the new birth. And for those of you struggling with condemnation, if you'll ask him to forgive you, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That blood is still working today, praise God. Let's just thank him for the blood of Jesus. Oh, praise God for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Let's stand to our feet and worship him. We thank you, Lord, and honor you and glorify you. We have homework to do, but Father, it is worth the gut job. It is worth the renovating. Oh, yes, it's worth it, Father. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, there's snackies over there. And also, all the kids that have taken notes, come on up and line up. Come up and line up. And then, no Wednesday service.
We just go to the bridge. Come on, just say, put him under.
Put him under your feet.
Come on, let's do it.
Put him under.
The Bible says he's under. Come on.
Put him under your feet.
To put him under. Come on, say it with me.
Say, put him under your feet.
Come on, do it.
Put him under your feet.
Are you getting that witness out there? Come on.
Put him under your feet. Put him.
Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Put him under.
Put him under your feet. Put him under your feet. Put him under your feet.
Are we gonna go part? Yes, Lord.